Let's start by turning to John 14:6. Get there. Spent last week talking about the way, the only way.
Amen.
You know what, Julie? I'm not on now. Am I on now? Okay. Sorry about that. Not used to having that thing on, so. But anyways, we talked about last week that we found out from our panel up here that to get to heaven, Jesus was the only way.
Amen.
We found out that there are many paths, many ways that man has that they think they can get to heaven, but all of them will end in death, as Proverbs 14:12 says.
Amen.
We also found out that for our example was to get to that bathroom back there, you had to go through that room back there to get to it. Well, the same was true with heaven. When we want to get to heaven, we have to go through Jesus to be able to get to our home in heaven.
Amen.
There's no other way to get there.
Sure.
Pastor shared, as he is a pastor up here in our panel, shared there's many Buddhas, Hindus, New Age, all the other kind that was mentioned. None of them are going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
There's one way, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So this morning, we're going to look at the next part of John 14:6, and that is that Jesus is the truth. Every day we hear multitudes of words from people around us. We have multitudes of thoughts that come through our mind, and we're there wondering, is any of this really true? Or are people just talking? We talked a lot about words this morning. It's the same principle. We hear multitudes of things that go through our mind, through our mouths, through other people's mouths. So this morning, let me ask you just a few questions. The first one is, when is now? Did you ever think about that? You can never pinpoint it, because by the time you do, it's now then. Now is just now, because now what I just said was then, you know, I said that. Well, think about this. Where is here? Can you point to it? I'm pointing to where I'm at. If you point to where you're at, 6 billion people across the country or this world would say you're wrong, because where they are is here, where you are is there. Think about that. How about which way is up? I mean, everybody would probably go like this. Well, half the world is pointing the other direction when they point up. So, when you think about these kind of things, what can you be sure of in life? Some say death and taxes. Well, that's not true either, because there's a lot of people that don't pay taxes. That's the way it is. So is there anything that we can base our lives on that will lead us to truth? Something that we can be sure of other than death. So how would you define the word truth? I mean, I hate to use, you know, when you look at the dictionary, you ever look at it and it's using the same word to define the word? You know, it's no variation other than just using the word truth, you know? Truth is the quality or state of being true. Now, that to me, that really doesn't tell you a whole lot right there. And you think about what truth is, that which is true or in accordance with facts or reality. Well, a little closer to being true, but how about this one? A fact or belief that is accepted as truth. Now, that may not be true at all. So when you think about what is truth, have you ever stopped and asked yourself about it? You know, not what is truth or what is the truth, but what is truth? You know, I was reading in Psalms 91 the other day, and I turned to verse 4, and let's turn to that, Psalms 91, verse 4. And it got me thinking about this word, truth. And actually, when you get there, turn over to, hold your place there, and then turn to John 18:38. John 18:38. But in Psalms 91:4, it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wing shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." His truth. Pilate asked Jesus this same question in John 18:38, and the people are still asking the same thing today. He said, I'll start in about middle ways in 37. It says, "For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate says unto him, "What is truth?" Pilate was cynical. He was skeptical. He thought that all truth was relative and not absolute. Mark Spence put it this way: relativism is the philosophical position that all points of view are equally valid, and that all truth is left up to the individual to define. This means that all moral positions, religious systems, all political movements are truths that are relative to the individual. You know, all you get out of that is there's no right or wrong answers. There is no absolute to anything if you base everything on relativism. A good example would be our government. You know, you think about truth. You know, for many government officials, truth is whatever the majority of the people want to hear.
True.
And whatever helps them advance their personal power or political goals.
That's right.
That's sad, but that's the way it is today. Maybe we need to ask a question that's a little bit deeper about truth. Is truth simply what the majority of the people believe and agree with, or is there a standard, an absolute truth? And those who say there's no absolute, up here in the panel last week said that, you know, if you're saying there is no absolute truth, then you're wrong because you're saying there's an absolute. You know, what you're saying is an absolute. God tells us that there is an objective, absolute truth that is not subject to man's interpretations, or on which we can base our eternity. The truth is the Word of God. I'm sorry, let me read this again. God tells us that there is no objective, absolute truth that is not subject to man's interpretation on which we can base our eternity. The truth is the Word of God. When there is no standard or acknowledgement of truth, there is no basis for moral right or wrong. Justice becomes whatever works and whatever helps those in power. Relative truth that can be used to manipulate and exploit people in order to gain power may not be truth at all. And that's probably one of the reasons why we're in the situation this world's in today, and the struggles that we have. Many are chasing after truth that isn't truth at all. So let's look at this word this morning and see if we can get a better understanding of what truth is. Have any of you ever watched a courtroom scene on TV? Anybody remember Perry Mason? You younger ones need to go and watch YouTube to see that. But that was a good show. They always found out the truth about people, you know. But anyhow, they always, on a courtroom scene, they always, once they get to the courtroom, they always go and swear in the witnesses, you know. And they put their right hand on the Bible and they say, you know, "Will you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help me God." Well, in the courtroom, The aim is to find out the truth about the situation, or, you know, the crime or whatever took place, you know, the trial, so that they can make a judgment on it. Well, when you think about the courtroom judgment, of course, those were all fictional, you know, but they still had an underlying presumption in these dramas that relate to life, real life. It presumes that the witness actually knows the truth. So, do you know the truth this morning? For many, it's a bit like, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. That is, for them, the truth is whatever they see or want it to be. Most people don't really want truth. They just want the constant reassurance that what they believe is truth. In fact, there's a common expression often heard saying, "This is my truth. This is what I believe." But if everybody had their own version of truth, is there any such thing as real truth?
No.
You think about John 8:44, Jesus was telling us about the devil. He said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you want to know when the devil is telling a lie?
When he opens his mouth.
Simple. You think about it. Satan likes to bring threats. He brings lies. He brings accusations against you. And all it does is create fear, or it goes and holds you in a fixed place. You know what I mean? You're in a retreat rather than moving forward, you know. He'll tell you, you don't have to listen to what I'm saying today, because, you know, there's more than one way to heaven. There's more than one truth. Lie. You got to know what the truth is.
Amen.
Every time you hear the voice that doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's a lie from Satan. And yet people everywhere listen to lies of the devil as truth, because they don't know what the absolute truth is. In Hosea 4:1, the results is shared here. It says, I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Version. It says, they hear the words of the Lord, for the Lord has a case against them, against the inhabitants of the land. He says, there is no truth, no faithful love, and no knowledge of God in the land. That's what happens. Those who live by the lies of the enemy have a hard time believing and accepting the truth of God. The Bible emphasizes the fact that it is vital what you believe. Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, in John 8:24. He also said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath will be upon him. That's John 3:36. So the emphasis of the scripture is not so much on the act of belief, but on the object of belief. What is emphasized is not so much the one trusting, but the one trusted. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Truth is far more than just a moral guide. Jesus didn't say he would show the truth. He didn't say he would teach the truth. He didn't say he'd model the truth. He says, I am the truth. He is the source of all truth, the embodiment of truth, and therefore the reference point for evaluating all truth claims. People today are believing whatever they wish to believe, but this will lead to their ultimate destruction. How many have heard someone say, I'm a good person? You know, I'll be all right. Lie. Sorry. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 1:25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie? People tend to believe lies that reinforce their own selfish personal beliefs. Today, more than ever, we need to know what real truth is. So let's turn to Ephesians 2:2. Let me show you something here. Ephesians 2:2. The King James says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the prince that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Paul is painting a picture of people who have no standard like God's word to live by. Therefore, they are guided by the constantly changing ethics and whims of the time. Sadly, education, entertainment, and fashion are the forces that guide this world, this lost world. With TV, music, movies, and the rest of the media often presenting sinful lifestyles and unwholesome values, we find ourselves constantly bombarded by attitudes and beliefs that are totally opposite to what the Bible says. Be careful what we influence our decisions on, our opinions. You have to base it on what the Word says. Jesus' truth gives a consistent moral standard that is lasting, not a set of rules that move and change along with society's rules or views and opinions. Society's views and opinions tell us things like this. Lies are just a part of life. You know, everyone lies. Abortion is a woman's choice. It's just a fetus, a clump of cells. Sex with anyone, anywhere, anytime is harmless if both of you want it. How about this one? My sins aren't nearly as bad as his or hers are. A little gossip is okay if you follow with, we need to pray for them.
Ouch.
Sorry, people. Maybe they need to read Proverbs 6. Let's turn to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. We need to see what the Word says about these kind of things. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I'm going to read out of the Good News Translation. It says, there are seven things that the Lord hates and cannot tolerate. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind that thinks up wicked plans, feet that hurry off to do evil, a witness who tells one lie after another, and someone who stirs up trouble among friends. Do you really think, but do you really think that God hates these things today any less than when Solomon wrote them thousands of years ago? God didn't give us this moral standard to spoil our fun or make us miserable. He knew that following his truth and obeying his will would bless us and make our lives better. He knows what will harm you and destroy your sense of worth. The truth shall be an immovable standard against which all things can be measured. It's not what you and I think is the truth, but it's something that cannot be questioned or contradicted. If we look at John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The truth that's not able to be denied or disputed is truth that comes from God alone. It's truth that is absolute, truth that doesn't yield, and truth that doesn't change. That's the good thing about the Word of God. It's consistent. It does
Amen.
Not change.
That's right.
This scripture was spoken by Jesus about his Father. He states the life that is intended for you can only be achieved by listening to the words of truth that proceeds from the Father. We have the words of God's truth right there, right here, in the Word of God. Jesus' truth still stands more than 2,000 years later. His promises have not failed, nor will they ever fail. 1 Kings 8:56. This is the standard of truth that God has given to man for us to study, to learn, and to grow. When we find the truth, when we find the fullness of his truth, we find life in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you leave God out of the equation, you have no answer to what is truth. If you ignore Almighty God, the I Am, who transcends time and space, you'll end up misguided, just like Pilate, as he asked the question, what is truth? And yet he was staring right at truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The source of truth is Jesus, who originates and communicates truth for salvation of men. The life, the purity, the teachings of Jesus Christ was the most complete and perfect representation of the things of the eternal world that has ever been presented to man, or ever can be. The ceremonies of the law of the Jews back in the Old Testament were just shadows. The life of Jesus was the truth. The doctrines of Jesus was nothing more than a representation of facts as they exist in the government of Jesus, of God.
Amen.
Jesus was the fountain of all truth. By him, all truth was communicated to man in 2 Peter 1:21. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The old system, one of laws and shadows and burdensome rites, Jesus gave us the true system of mercy to mankind and the truth in all things. So what are you basing your truth on today? You have to have a standard to live up to, or else you'll fall for anything and you'll believe anything. God has given you an instruction manual to show you how to live, but it's up to you to read it.
Amen.
I read this the other day. It says, "We are at a point in Christianity where people don't care if you can back it up with the Bible. Their feelings, desires, emotions override what Scripture says. They don't follow Christ. They follow self." You can't live your life based on what you think is truth. Man's laws cannot make moral what God has declared immoral. Even if a sin is legalized, it is still a sin in the eyes of God. Romans 3:4 says, "God forbid, let God be true and let every man be a liar." Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Out of the Contemporary English Version, it says, "The time is coming when people won't listen to good teaching. Instead, they will look for teachers who will please them by telling them only what they are itching to hear. They will turn from the truth and eagerly listen to senseless stories." So listen to this. This is what they want to hear today. This is what people want to hear in church. "Don't mention hell, Pastor, because it makes me feel uncomfortable. And please refer to sin as bad choices. Only tell me good news. And tell me again how much God wants to bless me." Don't forget that part. "But also remember how much money I give you every week. And please don't mention the cross." And yet there are pastors out there who are catering to these people. You won't get catered to here, I'll guarantee you that much. You'll get catered to with what you need, but not what you want to hear, you know, necessarily, if it's of the world anyhow. Some people don't want to see truth, hear truth, or speak truth. And they don't want to obey truth or live truth. They really don't want truth at all. They just want the satisfaction that their lie, that they can live by the lies of this world. They are content with comforting lies and want nothing to do with unpleasant truths. No sin has ever made a person happy. Sin simply cannot bring happiness, but it can deliver pleasure. But when we confuse pleasure with happiness, we are wide open for the seduction of the enemy. Turn your eyes from worldly desires. You were made for higher things. A heart given to Jesus will never find satisfaction in the fallen world. Let me read Ephesians 4, 17 through 23 out of the Voice translation. Ephesians 4, 17 through 23. "It says, therefore, as a witness of the Lord, I insist on this, that you no longer walk in the outsider's ways, with minds devoted to worthless pursuits. They are blind to true understanding. They are strangers and aliens to the kind of life God has for them, because they live in ignorance and immorality, and because their hearts are cold and hard stones. And now, since their lost all natural feelings, they have been given over to sensual, greedy, and reckless living. They stop at nothing to satisfy their impure appetites. But this is not the path of the Anointed One, which you have learned. You have heard Jesus and have been taught by him according to the truth that is in him. Then you know to take off your former way of life, your crumbled old self, that dark blot of a soul corrupted by deceitful desires and lusts, to take a fresh breath and let God renew your attitude and spirit." So when you think about it, let's look at the God of truth. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 32:4, You got God, and you got Jesus, you got the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity. They're all going to agree. Everything that you read about one will be about the other. It's going to be the truth that you're going to receive. But in Deuteronomy 32:4, it says about God, He is the rock. His word is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Psalms 31:5 says, Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Psalms 33:4, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Turn to Psalms 96:13. Psalms 96:13. It says, Rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So, if God is going to judge us based on his truth, don't you think we better know what his truth is?
Amen.
And line up with it?
That's right.
Instead of trying to think that we can live our ways in this world and be okay? You got to think about these things. Look at 1 John 2:15. We cannot live in the ways of this world and be okay. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Here's a simple definition drawn from the Bible that teaches truth. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Even more to the point, truth is the self-expression of God. The definition of truth flows from God. God is the author, the source, the determiner, the judge, the governor, the arbiter, the ultimate standard, and final judge of all truth. We better know what truth is, because we're going to be judged by it someday. So, the Holy Spirit, in John 15:26, it says the New Testament tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. In John 16:13, it says, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. When Jesus said of himself, I am the truth, in John 14:6, he was thereby making a profound claim about his own deity. He was also making it clear that all truth must be ultimately be defined in terms of God and his eternal glory. After all, and according to Hebrews 1:3, the brightness of God's glory, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and express image of his person. He is truth incarnated, the perfect expression of God, and the absolute embodiment of all that is true. The Word of God, Jesus says the written word of God is truth. It does not merely contain nuggets of truth. It is pure, unchangeable, and absolute truth that, according to Jesus, cannot be broken. Praying to his heavenly Father on behalf of his disciples, again in John 17:17, Jesus says, Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Moreover, the word of God is eternal truth. It lives and abides forever. Scripture also calls the word of Christ. Or Scripture is also called the Word of Christ. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. The truth of Christ and the truth of the Bible are of the very same character. They are in perfect agreement with each other, within every respect. Both are equally true. God has revealed himself to humanity through the scripture and through his son, and both of them embody the essence of what is truth. You can look at nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, in Psalms 19:1. And other invisible attributes, we can look at Romans 1:19-20. See, God's put knowledge in every person, in their hearts, about him.
Amen.
But in Romans 1:19-20, the NLT says it like this. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Forever, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. God's word is truth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. And the truth of light is what we have in us that will manifest itself into be like him. When we compare his life to our life and we see how enormously different the two are, then a light turns on for us. This light of truth which shines in our life reveals what we are really like in nature, by nature. It reveals the way that we must walk in order to transform, to be transformed into the image of Christ. So let's turn to John 8:32. John 8:32. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we know what the truth really is. Jesus has set the standard for truth. But according to John 8:32, it will make you free also. In this passage, Jesus reveals three things, three promises for us. If we hold to his teachings, which is the first thing, we will become his disciples. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, the one who learns from a teacher. If this is the only meaning of a disciple, then we're all disciples. But a true disciple is a learner who learns from a teacher and becomes like the teacher in thoughts and in action. Therefore, Jesus promises us that we will become his true disciples if we hold to his teachings. We will become like him in thought and in actions. We are expected to live our lives aligned to him and abide with him. We should imitate him and walk our Christian life in sync with his footsteps. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The second thing, he promises that we will know the truth. Now we go back to that question of what is truth? Well, Jesus already answered this question. The truth is referring to himself. As the passage continues, we can see that he substitutes the word truth with son in John 8:36. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So he's referring to himself here.
Amen.
So third, the last promise Jesus points out in this passage is that we know the truth now and we will be set free. For the truth will set us free. How can a truth set us free? By knowing and applying the truth, the Word of God. This is freedom from sin and death. There is a far more dangerous slavery that exists in this world, which is the slavery of sin. Therefore, this is a promise that Jesus fulfilled for us. It is a promise that we can be free from the dominion of sin and death. However, that only comes through him. So, as we reflect on the promises, we can really say that Jesus is the best gift God could ever give us. He is the truth and the only way to our freedom and salvation from sin. This truth can never be taken away from us, for it is the power of God that's made manifest in our lives through the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as Christians, we must remember that truth is just not the absence of lies, but the truth is Jesus. So let me share a few examples of truth in the Bible. Truth is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Truth is knowing you have a solid foundation that cannot be shaken. It's the solid foundation that any believer can stand on against any and every storm of life, and you can overcome. The truth is that this word will never return void. The truth is that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The truth is this word is settled in heaven forever. The truth is we don't have to worry about finding a way to heaven, for Jesus is the way.
Amen.
The truth is we are in the palm of the Father's hand, and nothing can separate us or pluck us out of the Father's hands. The truth is that everything is subject to the name of Jesus. The truth is that name has been given to us to put the devil under and all his cohorts, under our feet, and the devil has to obey. The truth is God has a perfect plan for our lives, but if you don't know the truth, you'll never walk in that plan. Truth gives you the power to overcome the lies of the enemy. Truth separates you from the kingdom of darkness and translates you into the kingdom of light. Truth says, I am a child of the living God when I receive Christ, blood bought and heaven bound. The truth is we don't have to fight our battles by ourselves. The truth is God loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. All these are yours to claim when you receive Jesus into your heart and become a child of God. You see, we live in a time when there is a fork in the road, a time when we face chaos, confusion, lack of clarity, and voices coming at us from all different directions. It's time you know the real truth. You see, the devil wants you to focus on your circumstances, your problems, your situations, yourselves. That takes you away from the truth. Jesus says, focus on me. You want to know who you really are? This book tells you.
Amen.
You want to know what God's plan is for your life? This book tells you. You want to know what your purpose is? This book tells you. If you want to know what God did for you, this book tells you. Read it and quit believing the lies of the enemy. What freedom there is in knowing we have the God of all creation who loves us so much to send his son Jesus to die for us so we can live with him forever. In closing, what areas of life are you trusting your feelings and your experiences more than the truth of God's word? Psalms 119, 142 tells us your righteousness is as everlasting righteousness and your instruction is truth. Though the standards of this sinful world are constantly changing, God does not change. So let's be honest. Where do we stand? Where do you stand? Do you believe the lies of the devil and just make up your own so-called truth? Or do you believe that the life you're living is okay in comparison to what God's word says that you should live? If what you believe is true, does it have a standard to measure up against? Or do you just believe it's true for you? We cannot love Jesus and love the ways of the world. We cannot love Jesus and love our selfishness. Such an attitude will ultimately destroy our lives. Or do you believe the Bible is actual truth? Everything that Jesus ever said and done is true. If your thoughts on truth don't line up with what his truth is, you're wrong. Are you spending time with friends who are leading you to God's truth or so-called friends who lead you in the lies and the ways of the world? 1 Corinthians 15:33 in the NLT says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. The choice is yours. Our attitude toward the truth determines the outcome of our lives. If we don't love the truth, if we resist it, we resist Jesus and salvation. But if we love the truth, then we embrace salvation and we receive the reward, eternal life with him. So if you've not received Jesus in your life, don't wait another minute. It's not worth it. It's not worth just cruising through this life and missing out on the one who can give you eternal life.
Amen.
That's what the devil wants you to do. Receive Jesus in your heart and let him help you live a life of purpose and truth. You know, you do that, the angels in heaven will rejoice and the devil will be ticked off. But that's okay, because he loses and you win. And that's the truth.
Amen.
Pastor, I'll...